Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Moonflower by Christina Lee. Narrated by Iggy Toma. Chapter 1. Lunars Reach Etria, 1881. Galen's cheek scraped against the stone wall in the alleyway beside the tavern. A meaty forearm wound around his neck, nearly crushing his windpipe. The man pumped into him fast and solid. And without any oil or spit to smooth the way, Galen was sure the delicate skin between his buttocks would be puffy and achy. He'd had rough fucking from customers before, and he could occasionally enjoy it if he closed his eyes and let his imagination lead the way. But this was something entirely different. This was feral, with no regard to him, as if he were only an object or a two-bit whore, which he supposed he was, given the circumstances. He should have stayed away as soon as he noticed the dull gray tint surrounding the stranger's shape, and not only from the night fog, when the man had stumbled out of the tavern. For as long as he could remember, Galen had been able to read people's intentions, or their quintessence, if you will, in the shades of color suffusing their forms. It was a useful gift, and he could use it to his advantage, as a warning of sorts, or to put himself at ease. He was being reckless tonight, ignoring that warning. He knew that, but he needed to eat, after all. His eyes filled with tears as his hole burned, but he held as still as possible during the thrashing, because he desperately wanted it to end. He could use the coin the man had shoved into his hand not 5 minutes earlier to buy something from the street merchant before he rolled his pushcart away for the night. If he missed him, he would have to dig through the trash bin behind the butcher's shop for leftover scraps of smoked meats. A couple more nights like this, if his buttocks survived it, and he might even be able to afford a cast-off pair of shoes from the man under the bridge who collected them. The holes in his current ones provided a weak barrier from the elements, and there was still a way to go before spring arrived. He focused on the slim possibility of warmer toes as the man's sour smell wafted across his cheek. Galen shut his eyes and only briefly held his breath, afraid he might faint as his stomach churned. His eyes sprang open when the man grabbed a tuft of his hair and tugged on it roughly.
"I've been tempted by the devil himself."
It was always this way with the vilest of the gentlemen. Self-hatred turned outward. The blame for their proclivities never befalling them. When he'd initially spotted the large man stumbling near the entrance to the tavern, he'd taken a chance, especially when the man had looked him up and down with a sultry leer Galen recognized all too well by now. Galen had beckoned him toward the alleyway, knowing the gentleman would follow. And when the customer agreed to a money exchange to stick him with his cock, Galen felt hopeful he'd be able to eat again, no matter the consequences. The man was groaning now, and when he stiffened, Galen prayed it was finally over. He tried to rein in his racing pulse and remain still as the man stepped away to pull up his trousers and tuck his limp cock inside. Galen gingerly tugged his own threadbare pants up his thighs with trembling hands. He could feel the man's seed, most likely mixed with blood, running down his thighs. But he paid it no mind. His sole focus was putting this moment behind him as quickly as possible. He lifted his cap, which had fallen to the ground, as well as his satchel, where he kept his most treasured things. Not that they amounted to much, but they were all he had. He'd had little time to gather his belongings from his aunt and uncle's house after he'd been caught stealing bread from the market in plain sight, almost a year ago now. As he'd fled, the owner of the stall warned she'd call the authorities, and though he didn't know if she had, just the threat of having to pay a fine or worse had been enough incentive to leave his village. And also, regardless of whether the authorities would be on his trail, rumors were bound to reach his aunt and uncle, bringing shame, and they had enough to deal with. Not that they would miss him all that much, with so many other mouths to feed. Still, since then, he'd learned not to make that same mistake again, no matter how hungry he became in his travels. So this arrangement worked well most nights. He'd always worked for himself, never wanting to be kept by anyone, or to give most of his earnings to some scoundrel who might treat him worse than the customers. So he avoided the notorious corners where other whores lured willing men. He respected those rent boys, even though they didn't always return the favor. But he understood their frustration and desperation. There was limited space, patrons as well. Like them, he did what he needed to survive. Speaking of which, Galen waited for the man with the acrid breath to be on his way instead of fussing with the buttons on his placket. He'd no doubt need some sobering up. Galen was hoping for a moment to himself before he limped off to take care of his empty stomach. He'd worry about his tender hole later. But when Galen next glanced at the customer, the man's eyes were flat, dark stones, matching the aura surrounding him. Again, he asked himself what in the hell he'd been thinking, but his growling stomach reminded him that desperation had clouded his judgment. Besides, the wind whistling through the alleyway signaled a late-season snow was due to fall in Lunar's Reach, which meant fewer potential customers, especially those with inclinations he could fulfill. He'd no doubt be sleeping in a doorway this evening. Or perhaps he could make it all the way to the covered bridge, despite the soreness and stickiness he was now feeling. The sting as he shifted told him just how unlikely that was. He'd fared much worse, but he still hoped not to pass one more night without food. When the man was finally able to straighten his clothing, the gray outlining his features grew darker, and Galen's pulse jumped. He recognized the very moment the man came to his senses. Sometimes the sobering reminder of what they'd done caused them to scurry off, shame hanging from their sated bodies. Others, like this one, would have more to say, and Galen decided not to wait around for it. "You fucking molly whore," the man said through clenched teeth just as Galen took a step forward. "Making me lose control." He'd heard the same sentiment too many times to count. Such a shame. The guilt and frustration weighed them down like a wet coat. Proper society dictated that men like them were a disgrace, and not only should they lose all standing, but be punished as well. Galen ignored such faulty logic. He took pride in using his body for work. After all, the food was for his own survival. And unlike this man, he would never allow himself to fall into the blackness of self-loathing. Turning toward the darkened street, he should have left quietly, but something hot and angry poked at that hollow space in his gut. "You chose to follow me and pay for use of my body? Maybe you're the—" The man gripped his shoulder roughly, and before Galen could react or even make sense of what was happening, the man's arm swung and his fist made such solid contact with Galen's mouth he saw stars. His body crumpled to the ground like an accordion, as the metal taste of blood filled his mouth. But the man wasn't done, swearing and spitting and kicking Galen repeatedly in the stomach, making him gasp for breath. Tears sprang to his eyes as he turned his head and vomited violently into the dirt. He vaguely recalled the man bending down to retrieve the coin Galen dropped, then heard his retreating footsteps. But he couldn't move, couldn't even lift a hand to help dry his tears. He felt the first snowflake melt against his cheek before his world went dark. He didn't know how many minutes or hours he lay barely conscious in the alleyway. He only knew his head felt fuzzy, his entire body ached, and he was nearly frozen solid from the snow that kept falling. The man's beating had rendered him useless, and Galen vaguely wondered if he still had all his teeth, but his tongue was too numb to check for certain. He'd awakened upon hearing a rumble of voices, and was initially afraid the man had returned with friends, but most likely he'd been dreaming. Until he felt hands nudging him, and he stiffened in fear. "We won't hurt you. We want to help." The voice had an instant calming effect, and it seemed obvious the gentle touches were only to assess him for injury. Galen dared open his eyes, and he saw a man who looked younger than his age of 1 and 20, with soft, angelic features. Galen had been mocked for his feminine lips and lean torso, but it sometimes worked to his advantage, especially if he needed to disappear quickly in a crowd, or sometimes even to pretend he had delicate sensibilities to fulfill a gentleman's fantasy. When another lad with eerily similar features peered at him from the other side, Galen thought he might be hallucinating cherubs calling him to heaven. Two sets of hands lifted him to a sitting position before encouraging him to stand, which seemed impossible. But with their help, Galen was able to manage without swaying too much. He didn't know why he so easily followed their commands, except he didn't think they meant him any harm. Their auras reflected a bright yellow glow that made him feel safe and warm. He must have lost awareness for a moment, because the next thing he knew, they were in a carriage. The ride was bumpy, and as Galen winced in pain, he could only imagine what he must have looked like when they'd come upon him. He suddenly remembered that all his belongings had been lying in the alleyway beside him, and his heart pounded in panic. "My bag, it's here," the first lad said, lifting it, and relief flooded him. At least he had that, though it wouldn't be much use to anyone else. Just a drawing pad, pencils, and his late mother's brooch. He'd never met her, as she died in childbirth, and when not long after his father left him with her sister and husband and their gaggle of children, at least he'd given Galen this memento.
"Thank you."
He didn't ask if any currency was found alongside his belongings. He knew the coin was gone. No way would that customer give him the satisfaction after the thrashing he'd delivered.
"My name is Wren, and this is my twin, Sparrow," the first lad said,
and Galen nodded but was unable to focus on them.
"Galen,"
his voice was weak and scratchy to his own ears. When the carriage stopped in front of the Moonflower Apothecary, a place he recognized from his meandering around the village, he became alert. He couldn't imagine why they'd taken him there, except to perhaps beg the shopkeeper for medicine. But he knew there was little treatment for his bruises other than time to heal.
"Why did you bring me here?"
he asked as they shuffled him out of the carriage.
"Shh, let's not call any more attention to ourselves. We're going to focus on getting you well,"
Wren said. And when he stepped under the lamppost, Galen noticed that his hair was slightly more golden than his brother's, and his features not nearly as similar as he'd initially surmised. Still, you could never mistake them for anything other than siblings born on the same day.
"You might have died of frostbite had we not spotted you in time."
Galen couldn't argue with that, so he allowed himself to be led down the alleyway beside the store to a back entrance. He rested a moment before he was helped up a flight of stairs as he groaned in pain. At the door, they were met by a stern-looking woman who immediately glanced him over. The dark green glow around her alerted him to her acute apprehension. It warned him to mind himself, or he would not be welcome. But if the twins brought him here, they must trust her. How naive of him, he now realized, to believe a couple of pretty fellows after meeting them in a back alley. Surely the customer had wrung his head something good. But he only had his instinct to rely on, and outside of the reckless decision he'd made with the customer, he'd normally been using it more wisely.
"Who is this?"
the lady asked in a half-scolding, half-alarmed voice.
"You must be more careful whom you decide to rescue."
"Madam Langley,"
Sparrow replied, his cheeks coloring as if he was guilty of what she'd implied. And now Galen wondered if they didn't consider him some sort of wounded stray. And he supposed he was.
"He can explain when he's well enough, but we found him badly beaten in the alley beside the tavern."
"Is that so?"
She tisked, but her eyes softened, and the green color around her tinged with blue, which might have meant she pitied him. Galen would have scoffed or demanded to be left alone, if only he could have managed to stand on his own. But he couldn't. So it was best he tucked his pride away for the moment. His head swam as it was, and attempting to dissect the silent conversation that seemed to be hanging between the three of them took too much effort. So he closed his eyes and leaned more of his weight on Wren. Or was it Sparrow? It would have been perfectly fine if they just left him to his own devices in the warm hallway for the night. It was much better than he was used to, after all. And just as he was about to suggest as much, Madame Langley's voice rang out strong.
Move him to a spare bed. Azrael will know what to do.
Chapter 2. Who was Azrael, and what was Madame Langley implying? Should Galen be frightened? But no, the twins had only been kind, and their auras weren't full of peril like that man's in the alleyway. Theirs continued to be soothing yellow hues of kindness, now mixed with green sparks, as if they'd absorbed Madame Langley's feelings of caution and concern. Hands nudged him toward the last door in a long hallway, and from the looks of it, he was in a residence, or possibly an inn above the apothecary. He could have sworn he heard other voices, but he couldn't be sure, since he still had a ringing sensation in his ears from the man's powerful punch. Once they led him over the threshold, he noticed two rows of beds, five on each side, in a large space that looked like a dormitory. He was curious who they belonged to, and if the answer resided in the noises he'd heard a moment earlier. They helped him onto one of the sturdy wooden frames with linens that smelled of sandalwood. He vaguely wondered if he was dreaming again, because it had been so long since he'd been able to lie on anything so supple. Hopefully, they planned to leave him to rest comfortably, which he would agree with wholeheartedly. What he wouldn't do for a good night's sleep. Except the dizziness returned as soon as he shut his eyes, and he swallowed back the coppery taste of blood in his mouth. Regardless, those gentle hands were already nudging him awake.
We need to clean your injuries and prepare for Azrael.
He marveled about this person they kept referring to as they carefully removed his coat and stripped him of his shirt and pants, leaving him in his underclothing. He nearly objected because he owned little else, but as his lips tried to form the words, they felt too heavy and swollen to even utter a sound. Besides, they'd been mindful of his bag in the alley, and he somehow knew they would protect these belongings too. When another boy suddenly appeared holding a basin of water, Galen began feeling guilty and a bit helpless being attended to by so many.
I can surely help my
You must reserve your strength,
Ren hissed, effectively shutting down his train of thought.
I see he's a stubborn one,
the newest fellow said. He had auburn hair, freckles dotting his cheeks, and as his hazel eyes flashed at Galen, he only felt a warm friendliness emanating from him, along with a similar caution as Madame Langley's. His aura was a mix of greens with thin blue and golden ribbons running through it. And Galen wondered what had made him so cautious. Surely not a defenseless, scrawny young man they'd helped outside a tavern.
The name's Bellamy. And don't worry, the twins will take good care of you. Did you happen across Azrael?
Sparrow asked him, and he nodded.
He's downstairs with Madame Langley, concocting something to help,
he explained with a wave of his hand. Madame Langley likely owned the shop below and was assisting as well.
Interesting,
Galen thought distantly as his eyes drifted closed. A healer, then. Or perhaps a witch. From what he'd heard, they were sometimes one and the same. Some healers were rumored to cure maladies through touch, but there seemed to be only a handful of them in Etria, and they tended to keep themselves well hidden. His aunt and uncle had once sought out an enchantress who lived near their village when his cousin had fallen severely ill as a child, and the tonic provided had helped cure her of her cough. Maybe this Azrael could help him heal faster after all. Once they removed his underpinnings, the feel of warm water on his skin was soothing enough to make him fall deeper under their spell. He'd never been shy about being bare in front of others, but now he wondered how bruised and weak he must have appeared to them. Whereas the twins had naturally thin frames, and they certainly did not seem to suffer from hunger pangs, he knew his body would look different from living a less than pampered life. Nevertheless, he was easily able to shake off the negative thought, simply because it had been so long since gentler hands took such care with him, and he felt grateful for their kindness and concern.
Who did this to you?
Sparrow asked as he carefully dipped the cloth in warm water.
A gentleman, if you can even call him one.
He winced as the cloth hit the place on his abdomen where he'd been kicked repeatedly.
Did he at least pay you?
Bellamy asked with a scowl, and Galen cringed. Undeniably, they all knew he was a two-bit whore. But still, they'd taken him in, and proceeded to care for him.
I'll assume not, Bellamy concluded.
After he was cleaned to their satisfaction, which involved wiping the seed and blood stuck to his thighs and ass cheeks, they removed the bowl and draped the sheet over his shivering body. Wren kept looking toward the door, apparently expecting Azrael to show at any moment with something to help, whatever that meant. He would somehow need to return the favor or pay them back for their help, but he couldn't concentrate on that now. The next time he opened his eyes, he noted the faces of four more fellows peering around the bed at him. All looked near the same age as him, but of different statures and features, some more pleasing to him than others. There were whispers and some tittering until Bellamy snapped at them to give Galen room. They moved back toward the beds, where they apparently slept at night. What in the world were they all doing here? He was just about to inquire when there was a commotion near the door, and in walked in the most striking man he'd ever laid eyes on. Thick black hair framed his prominent cheekbones and lush lips, but he did not carry himself as if aware of his own beauty. Instead, he walked tentatively, uncertainty in each step. The aura around him was the color of the sky on a cloudless day, which told Galen he carried some melancholy inside him. When their eyes met, Galen held in a gasp. The man had different colored irises, one green, one blue, and Galen could not look away, no matter how much his eyes burned from exhaustion. Azrael carried a tray, and when he stepped toward the bed, his aura deepened to a vibrant cobalt mixed with sea green, the colors winding and churning, as if Azrael were warring with himself over something. I am Azrael, he said softly, tentatively, and Galen immediately hoped to hear more of that timbre, if only so he'd be able to understand Azrael's intriguing aura. Madame Langley would like you to drink some of this tea, to help you sleep. He considered asking what was in the tea, but since it came from the apothecary, they would not go through all this trouble to poison or hurt him, would they? If so, he was already defenseless with so many in the room. Wren sat at his bedside, and after he and Sparrow helped him sit up, he sipped the tea gratefully. The liquid warmed his scratchy throat, though it stung his swollen lips. Regardless, he could feel its relaxing effect, just as Azrael foretold. Azrael produced a mortar and pestle from the tray he'd set near Galen's feet, and handed the contents to Wren. You'll need to rub this into his wounds.
Perhaps you would be better suited to,
Wren began, but Azrael was shaking his head, pink stripes slashing his cheeks.
You're taking good care of him. I'll help when I'm needed.
When Galen looked up at Azrael, their eyes connected, and Galen now noted a thread of color pulsing in his aura that closely matched his flushed skin. What could it mean? Lighter than red, but brighter than purple, like magenta. It made him feel out of sorts, his stomach tumbling in a funny way.
Are you a healer?
Galen asked, because he was curious, but also to distract himself from Azrael's mesmerizing gaze, and because he enjoyed the soothing sound of his voice. He got the impression Azrael measured his words, but he'd only just met all of them, so how would he know?
No,
Azrael seemed to stumble, and his flush deepened.
I only assist Madame Langley and the apothecary.
Don't let him fool you,
Bellamy said from the foot of the bed.
He's become as essential as her right hand, and is very good at what he does. I'm certain you'll feel much better soon enough.
Azrael dipped his head, the colors in his aura changing to a deep purple hue that Galen perceived as passion in its many forms. In this case, it likely meant Azrael enjoyed this work, that it made him feel useful. And Galen understood that sentiment immediately. He felt that way with his drawings. Not that they were very useful, but only that he liked working with his hands. and maybe someday his renderings might make someone smile. His cousins had often asked him to draw their likeness, but his aunt and uncle saw it as idle time, so he saved it for after chores or dinner, if you could even call it that. They could only afford to divide a block of cheese and a loaf of bread between them, and Galen was always the last to receive the scraps. It's what eventually drove him to the village square that final day before he fled their home, hoping to find something that had been tossed away so he could eat. He'd made a poor decision and was now paying for it. At least now they had one less mouth to feed. That brought him back to the situation at hand.
I cannot repay you for any of...
That will be a conversation for Madame Langley, Sparrow said. For now, focus on getting well.
Thank you.
Galen's eyes drifted closed. A moment later, he felt their cautious hands unfolding the sheet and gently probing his injuries again. And when a warm hand cupped his jaw, his eyes flew open. It was Azrael, who might have been feeling braver about his work, or possibly wanted to help direct the twins. Something pleasantly floral drifted toward his nose, reminiscent of the field of wildflowers on the outskirts of his village. And as Azrael turned his head side to side to assess his bruised face, Galen studied the attractive man, wondering why the blooming, sunny scent emanating from him seemed so contrary to his low-spirited, hesitant aura. When he felt his thumb swipe across his tender lips, their gazes clashed for an elongated moment before Azrael looked away to reach for the liniment. Like this, Azrael instructed, applying the medicine generously to the wounded area, before his gaze slipped down his neck to his chest. Galen shivered, either from his intense gaze or the soothing salve tingling against his skin. Azrael stepped behind Rin, allowing him room to continue the ministrations, possibly sensing Galen's confusing response to him, or feeling confused himself. He didn't understand his reaction to Azrael, other than he was easy on the eyes. Galen's stomach tightened painfully once he finally released the breath he'd been holding, and he groaned. "He may have a broken rib or two," Azrael said, nostrils flaring as he became increasingly flustered and upset the more Galen's breadth of injuries was revealed.
"I wouldn't doubt it."
As Ren's fingertips spread the salve from his belly button to the most bruised areas of his lower belly, Galen suddenly felt shy and nearly turned away from the close scrutiny. But only Azrael and the twins remained by his side to minister to him, while the others appeared nonplussed. In fact, when he next looked beyond the twins, many seemed to have grown bored of watching and were busy doing other things, such as reading or organizing their belongings. Even Bellamy had wandered off to the other side of the room to speak to another lad, who was apparently telling some animated story, because his arms were moving as fast as his mouth.
"Will you need to work on the back of him?" Azrael asked.
And though pink dotted his cheeks again, he also tightened his jaw, likely in pity. Sparrow frowned.
"Unfortunately, yes."
"It's all right."
The soothing voice belonged to Ren.
"We won't hurt you."
"There's nothing to be shy about."
This was from Sparrow.
"We've all seen enough of each other."
Azrael looked away, that rosiness now trailing down his neck. Again, Galen wanted to ask about their living arrangement, but he was being encouraged to turn over by sturdy hands, and the movement made him groan in pain. He clenched his jaw as Ren's hand trailed down the knobs of his spine, which were tender to the touch. When Ren's fingers landed on his buttocks, he wanted to recoil, if only not to be reminded how rough the man had been with him. Then Ren was spreading his crease open, and Galen heard the small gasp Azrael attempted to cover with a cough. Galen shut his eyes to avoid looking at any of them.
"You'll need to apply it liberally," Azrael said tightly. "And inside."
"Is that all right?" Ren asked. "It is only to help you."
Galen held his breath and nodded, hoping he did not pass out from either the pain or mortification. Thankfully, Ren made quick work of it, The cool liniment instantly
Sample complete. Ready to continue?